Books of the Bible. The book of Judges covers Israel's history from the death of Joshua to just before the reign of King Saul. The reoccurring phrase is, "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." When Israel rebelled, God allowed their enemies to triumph. But when Israel cried out to God, He raised up a deliverer. God is faithful, even when His people are not. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're back. It's Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd, of course, out on campus today at Kennesaw State University as he talks with William, who's a political science major. And when we last left them, Todd was reasoning with William regarding his logic on God's justice, comparing it to speeding tickets. So let's get back to their chat now from Kennesaw State University.
What is the judge going to say to you?
Yeah, he's going to be like, are you kidding me, bud? No.
Has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Bingo. All right. So you're standing before God. The books are opened. Thought life, deeds, what you've looked at on the computer, desiring things that didn't belong to you. Growing up as a child, not fully and happily and cheerfully obeying parents who are your authority. Maybe you've used God's name as a curse word. Lying. The crimes are stacking up.
Yes.
God's about to slam his gavel. He knows you're guilty. What's he going to do with you?
You know, whatever he deems just.
But that's obvious what it should be, right?
Yeah, I suppose to him. I mean, he's got a grander view, a grander design. I mean, that's stuff that I don't think simply we can understand. You know, I think his decision is based upon his knowledge of everything.
I totally agree, and that's the problem. It is based on everything, and his standard is higher, and he knows it all, and we're without excuse. So here's what you got sitting on this bench. Two guys who are guilty, who should be sent to hell. That's what you got sitting on this bench today, all right?
I think that's what you have sitting on the bench over there, laying down in the field out there. You know, it's everybody, though.
No argument for me. You just quoted a Bible verse.
Did I?
All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Nobody does good, not one. We are all guilty criminals. Now, with that as our backdrop, tell me what happened 2,000 years ago.
Jesus died for our sins.
Boom. Yeah. There it is. That's a big deal. It's as if the pure one, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, took all of your sins. Pick just one, all of your lies, all of your lusts, all of your dishonoring of parents, not praising God the way that you should. He took all of that, your court case, he just took it upon himself, and he received God's justice on your behalf. And in exchange, he gives you his purity, his righteousness. So if you will, God looked at him and saw William, and now he looks at William and he can see Christ. You'll be made pure because of what Jesus did for you so that you can actually be forgiven, your court case dismissed. You give Jesus your rap sheet. He gives you his resume. That's the good news.
Yeah.
Right? This is why truth is so important. If that is true, William, that's the biggest thing that's ever happened in the universe. God died, forget the world for a moment, for you. That is a big deal. So, William, here's my challenge for you as we sit here. I appreciate your intellect. I really do, and I appreciate your wit. But I want to reason with you, and I want to awaken your conscience to the knowledge of how bad we are left to ourselves, and that if Jesus didn't die for us while we were sinning, we are super hopeless. Life is bleak and eternity is going to be terrible, but he died for you. Now here's the big deal. He makes it really clear in his teachings over and over again. You don't just get that because you're walking the planet. You must respond to that good news. Do you remember this? Or maybe you've heard this saying before. Being born again. You've heard that term before, born again Christian?
Yes, yeah, of course, of course.
That's because Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. That's really, I mean, there's no fudging on that. You're either born again or you're not seeing the kingdom of God. You're going to hell. So here's my question for you. Do you know what it means to be born again?
If we were to define it, right? So like my understanding, the only understanding I know of a born again Christian is somebody who reaffirms his faith in God, and that is through baptism. That's my understanding. I could be totally wrong on that, though. I assume that you might have the answer to this, though.
Well, I think we can figure it out together. If you're going to be born again, that implies you're dead, right? Okay. I know there's different ways of being born again. You can be born again physically. Does it seem reasonable that you are going to somehow return to your mother's womb and be physically reborn? No.
No. Yeah, no.
So it's a spiritual reborn. Okay. We die to selves, and he makes us alive. Now, the question is, how do we die? And the Bible teaches the laws of God kill. When we were talking about you're lying, you're lusting, you're dishonoring your parents, those are the laws of God. And as you think about those laws, you should start to feel the weight of that and realize I'm undone. I'm a dead man walking. God's going to get me, and I have no hope. And I can't earn it. I can't talk my way out of it. I can't bribe God. I can't do enough good deeds to outweigh it because it has nothing to do with my guilt anyway. I am undone. I am a man who deserves damnation. And Jesus says, if you come to him with that broken heart, recognizing you deserve his wrath, but that he died for you, even when you hated him in your mind, he'll save you. He'll make you born again. He'll adopt you into his family. He'll forgive your sins. He'll grant you everlasting life. You'll become a child of God. Now, here's the kicker. You were just saying earlier, I didn't lose sight of this. You said, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's the road I'm supposed to walk?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is the road. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. You can get on the narrow road and you walk it to heaven because Jesus is going to take you there. So what do you do about being a Marine or a political scientist? You do it.
Right.
But those things are ancillary. The road that you need to walk is either the broad road to destruction or the narrow road to life. That's the point of life, William. That's it. Getting married, having kids, that's all bells and whistles. The big deal is you're standing with God. That's the biggest issue that you need to figure out in your life. So here's my question for you. Are you born again?
I can't simply tell you, you know, just this conversation has made me born again. But I would say that it is through this conversation that I would want to pursue that idea of being born again. It is a step in the right direction.
I'm going to reason with you one more time, and I appreciate your willingness to hear this out, okay? I'm just going to use your words. You said, I'm going to take a step in that direction. Here's the way God sees it. This is what Jesus described. You're either for him or you're against him. So while you're pondering it, you're not an inch closer to eternity. You are either born again or you're not, okay? And the reason I say that is not to discourage you, but to encourage you, William, make it snappy.
Make it snappy. Yeah,
because for two reasons. One, you don't know how long you have, especially if you're being a Marine. Man, you're risking life and limb. And you could, besides, let's face it, young people die all the time. But more than that, it's to miss the point, all right? The word gospel, that was, I think, I asked you that question. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? The word means good news, all right? This isn't just about, okay, I need a ticket out of hell. This is a system that might work so my kids are well-behaved or I get some inside financial advice. That's not the point. You get to be in a right relationship with your Creator. The Creator who is holy and yet stoops to save. So sometimes people wonder what God is like. Here's what God is like. You look at Jesus Christ and you see what God is like. You see that God, even though he deserves worship, he came here to serve, not to be served. He came here to die for sinners, not to throttle them. He didn't come to go to war. He came to make peace so that we could be reconciled. because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You get to know God. And what is not to love about the God who did the kindest thing for you that anybody could ever do? So it's to delay is to put off enjoying God. This isn't a system of philosophy to work out life, to find the formula. No, this is about reconciliation with the creator of the universe who desires to know you. And God describes salvation that when you come to him humbly confessing your sins, putting your trust in Christ, it's not like he's going to go, fine, whatever, William. He loves you. He loves when people come to him humbly like a child. And Jesus says, I will not cast him out. So you're right. I can't do that. This conversation can't do that. But you could sit here on this glorious day that God has provided for us, and you could think about this thing intensely as if it's more important than a poli-sci quiz that you might have to take later today. Fair enough?
That is fair. That is fair.
What a really good conversation that we just had the ability to sit back and eavesdrop on between Todd and William. Let's all take the time to be in prayer for William going forward. Also, hang tight, hang out with us, because Witness Wednesday, not over yet. We'll be back right after this quick break. You're listening to Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with Scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Advocate. When we as God's redeemed people sin, Jesus is our advocate before the Father. It is on the basis of Christ's righteousness that we are saved, not our own works. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we return to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. You know, I was just thinking during that break, I know, scary thought, me thinking, but seriously, I was thinking that we tend to move from conversation to conversation here on Witness Wednesday, but we really never take time to hear Todd unpack the conversation that he just had. So that's what I want to try to propose right now. Todd, tell me to go fly a kite if you don't want to do this, but do you have any thoughts that you may be willing to share about the chat that you just had with William?
I'd be happy to share my thoughts about William, who just disappeared. Number one, if you have been anxious about going to a university campus to talk to students, because these days we can't talk to one another and everything is acrimonious and everybody fights, that was a demonstration. Furthermore, William actually was grateful for the conversation, for talking about bigger things than what he has to study every day in these classrooms. He was actually grateful to be talking about big ideas. Now, I grant you, not everybody is like William, but a lot of students are. And if you would please think about going to a university campus, figure out your fishing hole, where you go, how you go about approaching it. But you will be very pleased to know that students here do like to talk about these things. I did notice some theological things when we were talking. When you're in an evangelistic encounter, especially if you have practiced enough, if this whole concept is very new to you, you might not be able to juggle these balls, which is why the more you can practice with one another, as somebody has to play the pagan. So find a Christian friend. Your pal plays the pagan, and then you witness to him and vice versa. You'll start to get good at it, and it'll allow you to start to hear things like William said, baptism gets you into the kingdom. Baptism makes you born again. Now, I don't know his upbringing, but it sounded like he had a pretty heavy dose of baptismal regeneration, that you must be baptized through a ceremony in order to be forgiven, and that's, of course, not biblical. And so I want to address things like that. So if I can be engaged in the conversation, witnessing to somebody while listening for little clues, I frequently file those so that I can actually use those as talking points. Those can be the things that I bring up to just keep talking to somebody. And so with William, I heard that he was a Baptist, that he thought baptism was a really important thing, but that he clearly, as is so often the case, simply did not know the G-O-S-P-E-L. That's why I wanted to move as quickly as possible from the natural realm into the spiritual realm. Because anytime you listen to somebody's conversation, when you're just engaging them to talk and ask them questions, it doesn't take much to get into the spiritual realm. So I asked him about why he wanted to become a Marine, and he brings up God and country. Hello, lady, I'm in. He brought it up. And if you just follow their lead by listening to folks, I'm just telling you, it's not hard to get into these conversations. I had something completely different planned today. I was going to use something else to start a conversation with William. I jettisoned that. Because as soon as he said God, I said, go, here we have it. So just listen. And just one last thing, please, please, please don't see your William as a mark, as a target, and certainly not as the enemy. I have been learning this the hard way, that when I go to a campus, and I kind of have this agenda, like I'm going to witness to so many people, or I'm going to really persuade people, or I'm going to show them how wrong their worldview is. It goes a different way. It just becomes much more contentious. And so instead, when I come out to this campus, and when I've prayed, and when I've asked the Lord to sensitize my heart, to remember that he actually came to die for his people. He came to die for people. And I suspect that he had to wake up every morning and get on it every single morning. He was here on a mission, and he put his feet out of his, well, he probably slept on the floor a lot with a rock as a pillow. And he got up day after day because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And now he bids us to go and do likewise. And so that's what I'm trying to be here for. Not to win an argument, not to win a debate, but to be a representative of the Good Shepherd who cares for his sheep. And so I don't want to come and fight. I don't want to come and debate. I just want to come and try to share some really, really great news with people who are lost.
That's actually a really vital point that we, or at least I can only speak for myself, but I tend to forget that. The Bible clearly explains that lost people cannot understand the things of God. Those things are spiritually appraised. For the natural man, the lost man, spiritual things are foolish. That's what the Bible tells us. So we really don't need to be spending our time debating and arguing biblical truth with lost people. They're never going to understand what it is that we're trying to tell them until they've been born again. And as Paul tells us in Romans 1, the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. And that has to be our focus when we witness to people, whether it's on university campuses, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, or possibly even church. And that's the truth, because sadly, many of the people that we share pews with on Sunday mornings, people that would call themselves Christians, just like William here, have no real understanding of what it means to be born again. Can a person be saved and not know it? Can a person be saved and not changed? And I'm not saying perfect, but changed. I believe the answer to that question is no. So when we encounter someone who we believe to be lost through the conversations that we have with them, don't spend time correcting their theology, but spend your time bathing them in the gospel. Look, people can be saved and have bad theology. We see that all over the place. And there are times and there are places and times to have conversations with brothers and sisters about their theology, especially if they're people that are a part of your local church. But an encounter with a lost soul, listen, apologetics, hermeneutics are not the power of God unto salvation. Those things are important. I'm not saying they're not important. They should be studied. They should be learned by the believer. The unbeliever only needs the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else will do. Nothing else can do. Arguing, debating with unbelievers has absolutely zero fruit to it if it's void of the gospel. So give them the gospel. That's the only thing that will give them life. And that's is another Witness Wednesday. Yep, we're all out of time for this episode, but we will see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Wretched Radio. Until then, until tomorrow, go serve your King.
In a world where the stakes are high and death can make you dead, a man without a past and with no future is about to find the antidote, meet the love of his life, defeat terrorism, and rescue handicapped orphans from a space shuttle disaster. But first, he'll have to race around the world, get mixed up with the mob, win American Idol, and switch bodies with Fred Savage. He's a one-man killing machine, your worst nightmare, a hero waiting to be made. Until now. From the people who brought you Howard the Duck Part 2 comes a story about love, compassion, revenge, Little League Baseball, Italian food, murder, and the triumph of the human spirit. Starring Edward Norton, Meryl Streep, Jack Nicholson, Angelina Jolie, Sidney Pollack, Lisa Kudrow, Steve Guttenberg, Alyssa Milano, Tom Waits, Betty White, Edward Norton, Father Guido Sarducci, Dustin Hoffman, Philip Seymour Hoffman, the Salami Sandwich, Edward Norton, International Action Hero Chow Yun-Fat, Julianne Moore, Demi Moore, Mary Tyler Moore, Michael Moore, Mandy Moore, Roger Moore, The Ghost of Dudley Moore, more stars than you can shake a stick at, and Edward Norton, trapped in a race against time. This Friday, this Wednesday, this holiday season, and March 12th. Sometimes, what we need most is right around the corner. But whatever that means. Coming soon, now in theaters, on DVD Tuesday.
Now, for the first time ever, it's I'm Dreaming of an Ultra PC Christmas. It's all your favorite holiday hits reimagined so as not to offend anyone ever. This double CD is jam-packed with hits like Little Drummer Non-Cisgendered Person, Santa Claus is Coming to My Sanctuary City, White Privilege Christmas, You Stupid Racist, All I Want for Christmas is You to Disrupt the Patriarchy, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, but Please Don't Talk to Us About It, Religion is Controversial, Deck the Halls with Marxist Literature, Feliz Navidad Frank, Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act. It's the most wonderful time of the year, unless it's not, so please don't minimize other people's struggles, you jerk. Have yourself a merry little protest in front of a nativity scene. I saw Mommy and Daddy kissing Santa Claus, and that's okay because I support their lifestyle choice. Baby, it's cold outside, but you're a strong woman and can handle it. Here's your jacket. Bye. Grandma got run over by a Prius, so at least the carbon footprint was a net positive for the planet. And of course, jingle bells. So get I'm Dreaming of an Ultra PC Christmas today. Available at Kmart.